Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
From Jackie Robinson to Adam Jones to Tory Hunter, there is a long history of allegations of racism against the Red Sox organization and its fans. Last night, the team issued a statement acknowledging racist incidents with fans and revealing there were 7 reported incidents of fans using racist slurs at Fenway Park last year. The Sox said, quote, "Those are just the ones we know about," end quote. What do you think? We are grappling much more openly right now with race in America. Where does the story of Red Sox fans and racism fit in? Have you seen or experienced racism at Fenway Park? Did anyone do anything about it? What should the Sox do about it now? We want to hear from you. Call us and join this conversation. 800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Or you can tweet us at Radio Boston. Joining us now to have this discussion is Howard Bryant. Howard is senior writer for ESPN, sports correspondent for NPR's Weekend Edition Saturday, and author of 9 books, including Shutout, A Story of Race and Baseball in Boston. Howard, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Hi, Deanna. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. It is great to have you back, Howard. Listen, before we dive in, I do want to put this Red Sox statement in context. Last week, 5-time All-Star Tory Hunter opened up about his experiences of racism at Fenway on ESPN Radio. I just want to play a little bit of that, Howard. Let's listen.
I've been called the N-word in Boston 100 times, and I said something about it. You know, and, oh, he's just a militant. He's lying. This didn't happen. No, it happened all the time from little kids. And grown-ups right next to him didn't say anything. You know, but you know what? Don't say anything. So I had a no-trade clause in everything I had not to go to Boston. Because if you're doing that and allowing it amongst the people, I don't want to be there.
So, Howard, let me just start by asking you, what was your first reaction when you heard that from Tory Hunter?
Well, my reaction was, yeah, it made perfect sense. Good, and he's not the first. Obviously, Adam Jones said it after him, and Gary Sheffield, and a lot of players who played Red Sox, who were on the Red Sox, who dealt with this. But I also think it's important to remember too that the organization handled this very well. I don't know if I'm completely surprised by it based on how they handled Adam Jones as well, but this is the battle, and I think that the Red Sox are in a really interesting position where you've got the owner, John Henry, he has wanted to completely remake what this organization was in terms of its attitudes and reputation. And he has over the past 20 years. But at the same time, you're also dealing with a fan base that is very well known for being pretty hot. Not that it's the only city that's hostile, but for fans to say, well, we're not the only ones is not quite the defense you're looking for.
Yeah. So let's ask listeners again, what do you think of the Red Sox response last night? Or have they made progress, do you believe, in how they're handling racism at Fenway Park in the last 10 years, the last 20 years? And again, do you have experience with it in the park, sitting in the stands? And if so, what are your thoughts about that? 800-423-8255 or 1-800-423-TALK. Howard, how would you characterize the Red Sox response, that statement last night? And I'm assuming that's what you mean when you say you think the organization handled it well.
Well, I was talking about a couple things. I was talking about how they dealt with the Adam Jones situation and also their statement last night. Their statement, they volunteered it. And I thought that they could have easily said nothing. They weren't say anything. Obviously, this is something, this idea of race and the Red Sox is something that goes all the way back to the 40s. So it's not like what said was anything new. But I really appreciated the fact that they came out, that they stood tall on it, and that they took it head on. When I was a kid growing up in Dorchester, we never even went to Fenway Park. And I remember talking to my uncle about it. I remember talking to family members. And they would always say things like, well, why would I go to a place where I know I'm going to get beat up? I mean, everybody knew the reputation of Fenway Park. We knew that if you went there, especially in the bleachers, you were probably going to get into a fight or had the chance to get into a fight. It wasn't any different than going to Savin Hill or going to any other part of Dorchester or Boston where you were going to be in some trouble. But I think that when John Henry bought that team in January of 2002, he has really committed. And I see more Red Sox hats. I see more Red Sox fans that are of color in Boston than I've seen in my entire life.
So I want to ask you, you talked about Adam Jones. You mentioned him a couple of times, just for listeners who may not know. He's an Orioles player. It was 2017. He said he heard racist taunts from the stands at Fenway and that one of the fans threw a bag of peanuts at him. First, Howard, just quickly tell our listeners, how did the Red Sox handle that particular complaint from Adam Jones?
Well, the Red Sox put out a statement that was pretty strong, and they actively went out and found the individuals who were accused of what they had done. And I think one of the players got banned. One of the fans had gotten banned. I think it was a lifetime ban. And so they were strong. And I think that this is like one of those things where I don't think people necessarily are accusing the Red Sox of being a racist franchise. I think what they accuse them of is not doing anything. And this iteration of this organization has certainly done something. To stand up like that is a big deal.
All right, so you know, I want to talk about that a little bit further. Torrey Hunter told WEEI that before he even played his first game in Fenway, players warned him, just wait till you get to Boston. Now, Hunter played in the John Henry years. So is this a slow ship to turn? And even with the efforts John Henry are making, okay, 2017, Adam Jones is in the field and people are hurling terrible racist taunts at him. 2020, Torrey Hunter saying, lived experience for me repeatedly. Do you understand? I mean, how do we square all that?
Well, I think how you square it is that there's the organization and then there are the people, right? And so I think that when I try to assess an organization, I assess the organization on whether or not it acts and whether or not it's fostering a climate that creates danger. And I think that certainly, I think that the Henry ownership in 2002 has done a much better job of that. I think that they, for all the different reasons, took the name off of Yawkey Way and changed it to Jersey Street. I thought that sent a certain message as well. But I also think that you've got two different issues here. This is about people. This is about the individuals who are coming to that ballpark. And I remember when I was a columnist at the Boston Herald, I never had any issues with the Red Sox, but I had plenty of issues with the readership. So it's, I always sort of wonder to what extent is the team responsible for its climate? And like I said before, my attitude is whether or not, like when I've criticized the Red Sox, it's usually either been on hiring, it's been on lack of action. And when it comes to the fans, I sort of deal with the fans directly myself.
So I want to talk about the sports dimension of this a little bit more. I want to circle back to Torrey Hunter saying that having had such bad experiences at Fenway, despite the fact that he kind of always wanted to play for the Sox, he actually put a no trade clause in his contracts, which basically said, you can't trade me to the Boston Red Sox. From a baseball standpoint, put that in context. How big a deal is that?
Well, it's a conspiracy against, I mean, how are you going to win ball games if the best players in the game don't want to play for you? And that's one of the battles that team has had. Ever to the Bambino, when they talked about all these, about the bad luck of not winning. But the biggest way to not win ball games is if the best players aren't coming to you. And Torrey Hunter wasn't the first. David Justice had a no trade clause. Gary Sheffield had a no trade clause. Kirby Puckett had a no trade clause. A lot of players had no trade clauses. In fact, one of the players, Ellis Burks, in 1987, when he was a rookie with the Red Sox, the best player on the team and probably the best black player who's ever played for the Red Sox, Jim Rice, told him, get your 6 years and then get the hell out of them. So everybody knew what the reputation was. I think that one of the problems, to me at least, what was really difficult, it was a financial decision among all kinds of other decisions, and I think time will tell. But I'm interested in hearing what Mookie Betts one day has to say about his time in Boston if you really want to find out about progress and if progress is being made.
So let's stay on that subject for a minute, because as Torrey Hunter told his story, and we've heard this with other Black players who have told stories about Fenway Park. There is a, in conversations on sports radio and with journalists, there's this subtle pushback of, well, then why do we have Black players who are happy to play here? Almost as if it's not true. And there seems to be a real desire to deny that these experiences are real experiences that are really happening. But
I was going to say, of course there is, because they're defending the team. They're not defending the player. They don't really care what the Black player has to say, just like anytime somebody talks about race in Boston or race in anywhere, they immediately sort of try to step on you. As I always say, there are only two ways to talk about race in the United States. One is things are better than they were, and the other is get over it. I certainly don't expect and have never expected fans to respond to these allegations of the player by saying, hey, you're right, we need to be better. Because if that were the case, then this place would be better. We wouldn't be in the situation that we're in right now. What I can say, however, is that the organization did shift. These are not the same, it's not the same organization as with the Yankees, I can tell you that much. And so the Red Sox organization, and once again, this is what I mean, Tiziana, that I believe it's two separate issues. I think it would be an even worse conversation if Torrey Hunter said this and the Red Sox were the ones who came out and defended the fans, or if the Red Sox came out and said that Adam Jones didn't know what he was talking about, or if the organization did that. But the organization didn't do that. I think that the Red Sox are in a really, really difficult spot. They're trying to do the right thing, and they seem committed to doing the right thing. But Boston's a tough town. Boston is also one of those places where you're going to get a lot of pushback and a lot of vocal pushback. And the biggest place of concern that I had for the Red Sox has always been, and where I do blame them, has been it's their flagship radio station, which has done as much to foment racism in Boston as any other outlet over the last several years.
So that's an interesting point, because this conversation is not happening in a vacuum. In fact, you were on, you know, with us on Week in Review last Friday, where we were talking pretty deeply about the protests of the previous 2 weeks and the burgeoning movement to defund the police, et cetera. I saw a segment on CNN last week where Black reporters were telling stories of the discrimination they've experienced on the job. And I found myself thinking that segment probably wouldn't have aired at this time last summer. So is there room now for Black professionals, whether it's in sports or journalism, to be open and heard about their stories of regular and systemic discrimination in a way that we haven't been talking about it until now?
Well, sure. And up to a point. And once again, it all depends on the outlet. Who has the lens? Who has the control? Who gets to do the talking? There are some places that are going to welcome you to talk, and then there are others that aren't. I used to have this conversation with Larry Lucchino fairly often, and Theo Epstein when they were running the team, that, you know, if your flagship station is racist and everyone knows it's racist and they make everything and they are the part of the problem, then your efforts are not necessarily going to be rewarded, because they get thwarted in uncle where people hear your team, you know, hear about your team the most. So that's problematic. But once again, I think that we are at this moment in time. It's a very interesting moment in time. And we're watching, as we talked about last week, what are people going to do with it? Not just what are they going to say in their statements and their corporate sloganeering, what are they actually going to do about it? And I always think it's a first step to not deny. We are at our worst when we're denying other people's experiences. And so from the Red Sox side of it, I had no issue with it. But from what Torrey said about the fans, 100%, he's not wrong.
So we've got just a couple of minutes left, and I want to take a step back from baseball. Howard, take advantage of your wide experience to put this in a little bit bigger context. Let's compare and contrast this example with, let's say, the NFL. We know Roger Goodell basically admitted that the NFL had made the wrong decision in its response to Colin Kaepernick and his kneeling protests of a few years ago. Does the MLB have a same or different problem at a league level as other professional sports? And how collectively do these major sports franchises need to be thinking about the question of racism right now?
Well, I think everybody does, because we're in this moment, we're in this little special window, and we'll see how long this window lasts. It feels very different from in the past. I'll certainly say that. I think baseball has a different issue. I think baseball's issue is way more cultural baseball. One of the things that Adam Jones did say back in 2017 when he was asked after the Colin Kaepernick protest was, well, how come you don't see these same protests in baseball? And he essentially said, because baseball was a white man's sport. So Adam Jones had a lot to say. I think that football obviously is very different because there's not an industry in the country that I can think of that made its position about kneeling more clear than the National Football League. The National Football League went out of its way to tell everybody how they felt by taking a player's career and essentially destroying it. I mean, they actively went out of their way. It wasn't just words when it came to Colin Kaepernick. And to the point now where now this is what we talk about what are you going to do? The fact that they even, Roger Goodell put out that statement and didn't even mention Colin Kaepernick's name, it really is the equivalent to me of a guy receiving a death sentence, having the DNA exonerate him and leaving him on death row. And this is exactly what the NFL did much, much more forcefully. I think baseball isn't in that situation. Obviously, there's only 68 black players in the game anyway, but I think that baseball's got a different type of inclusion problem, and it's much more it's more class based in the combination of class and race. But the NFL is the one where they've really, really been hostile.
All right, Howard, we've got like 20 seconds left. The next big thing you're looking for on the question of race in sports right now, what are you looking for?
Action. I'm looking for hiring. I'm looking for a real level of inclusion that goes beyond slogans and words. There are a lot of grievances that people hear. You got to hear them, and you also can't punish people for having their feelings.
That's Howard Bryant, senior writer for ESPN, sports correspondent for NPR's Weekend Edition Saturday, and author of 9 books, including Shutout, A Story of Race and Baseball in Boston. Howard, I appreciate you joining us today. Thanks.
Thank you.